Hey, we're going to get this committee meeting, call this committee meeting to order. This is Saturday, May 16th. It is the conference committee for the Transportation Finance Conference Committee, House File 4. However, this is a slightly informal hearing because we actually are not working off of House File 4. We are going to be working off of an agreed-upon, what we call lights-on bill for transportation and public safety. So we don't really actually have a bill in front of us that the conference committee will be amending or voting on. What the plan is, members and members of the public, is that pending something incredible happening, like I say, the clouds parting and the heavens starting to sing, which I hope happens either before midnight on Monday or in the not too distant future. The plan is to keep this conference committee open, keep House File 4 in conference committee. That will, of course, last the duration of the biennial session. If perchance we go into special session, we'd have to, of course, start back at the starting line with a new bill if we're going to do a big major transportation initiative. What we're doing tonight is we're taking a look at some agreed-upon finance and policy provisions that are, for better or for worse, kind of routine, standard appropriations, a couple of minor niches around policy and some very, very minor niches around some finance items. But basically, what we call a standard lights on, keep the appropriations, keep the standard services going. And we'll pause a second and we'll wait for the sheets to. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those. Just leave a $5 bill on the table. That's our pizza fund that we're trying to collect for. All right, Austin will make us some more copies. Thank you, Austin. All right, the man in the purple shirt will be back soon. So what's going to happen is there's a Senate file on the floor of the House, Senate File 1647, which had served as our omnibus policy bill. Bill language is now being drafted. That will be amended as a delete all on the Senate File 1647. That will be taken up for consideration and debate on the House floor likely this evening. And then tomorrow the Senate, in turn, will take that up. But we thought it would be pretty important, nevertheless, even though we don't have a bill in front of us, to at least roll it out publicly, hear from the briefly from the agency. So we'll ask Commissioner Zelli and Chair Dunnick and Commissioner Doman to come forward and share a few thoughts with us. That's probably the extent of the public testimony we'll be taking, and then wrap up for the night. Our council busy at work getting the details buttoned down. Are you ready? All right. So,
Chairman, before we start, I ask something here? You
Representative
kept saying things that were agreed upon, and I know over the past several weeks or whatever, we've agreed on a number of things. Is there something else that we've agreed on that we are not talking? Is there another list of agreed upon things that you're saying are agreed upon, but are only agreed upon between you and the other chairman, or what?
No. No. I mean, aside from what we're about to hear?
I don't know. You kept saying agreed upon, and I know, Mr. Chairman, that we did
agree.
Well,
by agreed upon, I mean by our own leaders, by the speaker and the majority leader. Have not come to some larger global deal that would allow us a pathway to passing a major transportation finance initiative. That's, of course, being linked to a number of other larger issues kind of float around outside of this room. and are way above our pay grade. And so the agreement, kind of the global agreement, is at least for the time being to do a lights on bill. So that's what I refer to. Now, I wish there were some other agreement that we had to cut some major deal to do a major investment in transportation, public safety, et cetera. But that, for the time being, seems elusive. But I think it's very instructive and very telling, you know, that that, you know, all hope is not lost. This conference committee remains open. We live to continue to discuss these issues and see where we can find something that is mutually agreeable. So we can take a major generational step on transportation. But for the time being, we're just doing an appropriations bill that will keep us going for the next couple of years.
Well, I appreciate that, Mr. Chairman, but I didn't know when you kept saying agreed upon. I didn't know.
Well, you know, if you read the newspapers or follow Twitter, that's what I'm referring to, the agreement. So,
thank you for verifying that, Mr. Chairman.
Absolutely, Representative Earhart. We're going to work off this basic kind of bare bones sheet here have counsel walk us through first the appropriations and then the policy provisions. Ms. White, you ready to go? All right.
Mr. Chair and committee, first we should note that all base appropriations are included in, I'm talking about Article 1 chiefly, and then these are the change items. Focus first on general fund. Most of these are one-time items. We were given a target of $30 million in the general fund for fiscal year 16 and 17. So the one-time items are a $5 million appropriation for Greater Minnesota Transit. So that'd be $2.5 million a year for 16-17. One-time appropriation of $5 million for rail grade crossing safety. $3 million appropriation for port development assistance. This is a provision that was in the Senate side for emergency railroad track repair in Hugo, and that's at $145,000 in fiscal year 16. There's an appropriation of $12.5 million for small cities assistance. This is related to a House policy provision where the allocation and the purposes for this money are set up. $32,000 appropriation for the Roosevelt Tower replacement. That's under statewide radio communications. This is the DPS purchasing power. These are the 1.8% compensation adjustments that were carried on the governor and the Senate and the House side. That comes to $353,000 for fiscal year 16-17, and that amount does have tails in 18 and 19. There's an appropriation of $900,000. This was a House provision, but the House provision had it from a different source. This is a general fund appropriation for emergency response teams in St. Cloud and Duluth. The next is related. It says state plane purchase. This is not the MnDOT state plane purchase. This is under DPS, under state patrol. The governor's recommendation was $975,000 from the Trunk Highway Fund. We did receive a report since then that estimates that 88% of the state plane usage by the state patrol is for trunk highway purposes, so therefore we did a split of 88% of that amount coming from the trunk highway fund. You'll see that down below under trunk highway fund of $858,000, and then the $117,000 remainder comes from the general fund. Airports fund, this is an appropriation.
Sorry, one item to note on here that we forgot off this list is the change item, the governor's recommendation for capital security, and that's about $3 million over the biennium. So that was just an inadvertent staff error on the list, but that's included in the agreement.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, thank you. That's 3.14 over the biennium. That is another amount that has tails for capital security, and that, again, was in the governor, House, and Senate positions. The airports fund, this was, again, something picked up in all three. This was the remaining spend down of $11 million from the $15 million payback to the state airports fund from the general fund several years ago. That's obviously a one-time appropriation. Then we have trunk highway fund appropriations over base. The first is $49 million over the biennium for MnDOT for purchasing power increase. This is mostly related to compensation increases and other inflationary costs in the department. $140 million in authorization for trunk highway bonds for the relocation of Highway 53. So the trunk highway fund appropriations include $12.1 million over the biennium in debt service related to these bonds. For DPS, the, again, called purchasing power increase, this is basically the compensation increase agreed upon, is $7.925 million over the biennium from the trunk highway fund. There's $2 million over the biennium for environmental management. This is in MnDOT in planning and in program planning and delivery, as I recall. And this is $1 million each year ongoing for mitigation and environmental management related to state road projects. Again, there's the trunk highway piece of the state patrol plane purchase right there, $858,000. Driver and Vehicle Services has a number of spending changes. There's the increases from DVS funds for all governor's change items. This is related to compensation adjustments, operating inflationary costs, increased costs of the plate the license plate contract with the Minnesota Department of Corrections. Those were all governor's change items and carried by the House and Senate already. And these will just be spent. These are not related to new revenues. These are spent from existing fund balances available to DVS. There is now an elimination of the highway user tax appropriation to vehicle services, only for 2 years. This is replaced with a vehicle services fund increase, and that comes off the fund balance. That totals 16.472 over the biennium. That will spend down greatly the vehicle services operating account fund balance, and that is just supposed to be a two-year shift, and that will come back to highway user tax in fiscal year 18-19, according to the bill at present. And also a small, another piece freeing up highway money. There's an elimination of the perpetual $1,000 trunk highway appropriation to driver services, and this is just eliminated. And lastly, well, this is related to the general fund target. We were given a target of $30 million for the conference. There's $59.987 in spending in the bill for the biennium, but $30 million will be canceled, $30 million of unencumbered general fund appropriation from a 2014 transitway project. So this money will be used to bring down that balance so that the effective general fund spending for the bill is $29.987 over base. That spending includes $2 million over 2 years for Suburban Transit Providers Demonstration Project, and then the rest is for operating assistance increase for Metropolitan Council Transit.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Boyd. Ms. Berzowski.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Earhart.
Do we have a total by area source of any place, or how all that
sort
all adds up and where we're taking it from and all that stuff?
Representative Earhart, we don't have a spreadsheet.
We can have a total, I suppose.
Do you want to kind of re-articulate the totals, what comes? Most of this is general fund, of course. There's a little bit of authorization in Trunk Highway Fund and some more authorization in Driver Services and Vehicle Services funds. Ms. Boyd?
Mr. Chair, the increase for general fund, as I said, the net spending with the unencumbered funds being canceled are $29.987 million for the biennium. And then there's a tails target of $30 million, the bulk of which will be spent on Met Council appropriations increase. Mr. Chair, Representative Earhart, if you'll give me a minute, I can give you a better total for trunk highway appropriations and other funds if you'd like. We just don't have a spreadsheet prepared at this point.
So, Mr. Chairman, the 29.87 and the $30 million are general fund money.
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah. So, Representative Earhart, the target we were given was the $30 million general fund in this biennium.
It's kind of hard, Mr. Chairman, to add those up in my head, and I don't have a calculator with me, but they got dribbles and drabs going everywhere, and so I just kind of was wondering where it was all coming from and where it was going. So,
thank you. Ms. Berzoff.
Mr. Chair, the next part of the document lists out the more policy and policy finance provisions. On the beginning eight or so are newly added added to the bill, whereas the ones that have already been adopted by the conference committee are on pages 2 and 3. So going through the newly appearing provisions, they were all either on one side or the other of House File 4 or the Senate policy bill, Senate File 1647. So the first one is, I'll skip over the first bullet for now. The second bullet is it exempts from seasonal load restrictions portable toilet service vehicles that do not exceed a certain weight limit. The next provision is a limitation on the Commissioner of Transportation. If the Commissioner engages in a study on the deposit of slurry from highway diamond grinding at the roadsides, the Commissioner has to consult with representatives of road construction and maintenance industry on how to do the study. The next provision has to do with roadway design standards, and that was a Senate provision that required the Commissioner to establish standards that could be used for trunk highways, county highways, and municipal streets, assuming that they're similar in various ways and that the standards would be applicable then across the entire system. The next one is a provision that allows owners of trailers to register their trailers for 3 years if they wish to do so. And there already is an adopted provision that has to do with towed recreational vehicles being allowed to register for 3 years. So this applies to trailers, and it adds the triple deputy registrar filing fee as applies to the towed recreational vehicles. Then there are several provisions from Senate File 1647, which was the Senate Omnibus Policy Bill. The first classifies as private data certain disability certificate holder data, and it allows, let's see, well, it deals with data that is necessary to enforce disability parking laws and regulations. The next one includes utility company vehicles in the current move-over law that requires drivers to move a lane away from emergency vehicles and law enforcement vehicles at the side of the road with blinking lights. The next clarifies railroad responsibilities and liabilities in the event of spill or other damage that might be caused by a train-related fire or other emergency. And this is this amends existing law, basically, to clarify what those responsibilities are. The next one is a provision that has to do with, it amends existing law having to do with a report prepared by the Department of Public Safety having to do with response preparedness and in the event of rail spills or derailments. And this would include ethanol and other hazardous substances in the reporting requirement. And the final provision that is new to this document has to do with allowing the City of St. Paul to authorize a limitation or prohibition on engine compression braking or jake braking on a specified stretch of I-94. And then the next list of provisions has already been adopted by the conference committee. There is one that was eliminated, and that has to do with regular route transit being provided to the City of Hastings in exchange for the city joining the transit taxing district. So the provisions that are remaining that were adopted by the conference committee and will appear in the amendment that's being drafted now are first dedicating proceeds of the sale or licensing of MnDOT software to the Trunk Highway Fund if it was originally developed with Trunk Highway Fund money. The next is the House provision that specifies a simpler process for eminent domain acquisition of low-value properties. Drainage, then a MnDOT housekeeping provision that would allow drainage permits to be issued for projects within cities. A traffic signal timing optimization program that requires cities and local units to report to MnDOT concerning an inventory of their traffic signals. And an amendment was added, excuse my notes that were carried over here, an amendment was added to that that would require MnDOT to provide technical assistance to local units that ask for it in the course of optimizing their signal timing. The next is a House provision that allows for application of manure through, I don't really know how to explain it, but it's through use of the trunk, through a pipe across highway right-of-way. Then there was a broadening of MnDOT's authority to manage land and the attached statutory appropriation that allows them that pays expenses of buying and selling certain land interests. There is an amendment to the good faith requirement for targeted group business and disadvantaged business enterprise programs that it eliminates the possibility of the contractor applying for and obtaining a waiver and requires demonstration of good faith to the commissioner. The CASA formula is changed from the existing elements of a formula to a 68-32 split between the old formula and the new formula. The towed recreational vehicle three-year registration option with a three-year deputy registrar fee attached to that. Drive-away and transit license plates would be available to Minnesota companies for transit through other states. So the Minnesota plate would be good in other states. And the Minnesota golf plate, the effective date was changed to July of 2015, and the date after which contributions would be required was also changed to conform with the effective date. There is a filing fee of $10 established for an IFTA license and a $100 fee for reinstatement of a revoked IFTA license. A $10 conditional registration filing fee is established, and that $10 filing fee is also imposed when the conditional registration is lifted. The texting while driving fine was increased for subsequent offenses to $225 plus the underlying payables fee that's set by the courts. Motorcycle headlamps, there can be up to four motorcycle headlamps under the vehicle equipment standards for motorcycles. The commercial vehicle inspection and defect reporting allows the driver to report in writing only when a defect is noted at the end of the working day. That inspection is still required, but there doesn't have to be a report written unless a defect is noted. The aerodynamic tails on trailers are not included in calculating the length of the vehicle for length limit purposes. Motor vehicle insurance information must be provided to the registrar when a person is renewing vehicle registration or, I believe, filing title information. Standards are set for electronic billboards that may be utilized for advertising purposes. Safe Routes to School grants are available when a municipality has adopted a complete streets ordinance for ongoing development after a specified date in 2016. Federal out-of-service orders are applicable to trucks both in interstate and intrastate commerce, and this is a compliance measure. The Mercy Fund is available for rail yard safety and capacity improvements. That's a new purpose that's articulated in the statute. Volunteer firefighter dependent health insurance coverage is available for the surviving dependents of a volunteer firefighter who is killed in the line of duty. Overdimensional load escort certification by the Department of Public Safety is the only certification that is needed to act as an overdimensional load escort driver. And the next provision allows the Commissioner of Public Safety to set the State Patrol vehicle escort fee to recover the cost of issuing the permits. The airport project's local contribution is stated in statute, and it's capped. There's the minimum, but it depends on whether there is federal funds that are also going to the specific airport project. And a representative of Suburban Public Transit will be able to serve on the Metropolitan Council TAB, the Transportation Advisory Board, and this will be a new seat on the TAB, so there will be one more person serving. The sunset of the mini truck operation authority is repealed. There are two turnbacks that are authorized and removed from the trunk highway system. MnDOT is directed to produce a new local cost participation policy that attempts to minimize the city participation requirements. There will be a report on the motor vehicle title transfer fee that now goes to the Environmental Fund in order to determine whether that policy still is justified. The Commissioner of Transportation and Public Safety, I believe, in collaboration, and this was an amendment from the original language, in collaboration with the Commissioner of MMB, will report to the legislature concerning the expenditures and transfers from dedicated highway funds over the last several years. And finally, a repeal of the Capitol Complex interagency agreements.
All right. Thank you, Grzowski. Questions, members? All right. Thank you. I think I'll invite Commissioner Zelli and Chair Dunnick forward. Commissioner Doman is caught up in another conference committee. Oh, she's here. Well, she can come forward if she likes, but she indicated she may not need to. So, all right, welcome.
Thank you, Chair DeBole and Chair Kelly. I just have some brief comments on the provisions that have just been outlined, and I really appreciate the opportunity to give you those comments. I would note that the administration has not been part of these negotiations, so we have some. Want to highlight just a few issues that we think are worthy to consider that we think would benefit the Minnesota and certainly the results of the Department of Transportation should this kind of bare bones budget pass. The governor had recommended a rail office. This rail office funding, which does not appear in these recommendations, is not just to implement grade crossing and other safety measures, but to help kind of organize our agency toward thinking of the rail activity holistically, both obviously safety, but also economic development and better coordination. I know my conversations with the railroads that we need better communication and understanding, and even have its own rail division to give it that kind of profile, I think would benefit all parties, quite aside from any other kind of grade crossing or safety inspection activity, which is, again, of course, as we know, a separate funding activity. This is just for the overhead, the cost of a rail office within the agency. And then I just really make a comment on some of the funds which are part of the Trunk Highway Fund. I really appreciate the appropriation for some of the increased inflationary costs, both for compensation and commodities like salt. But there's an additional $190 million that is there in the trunk balance. And we know, and I appreciate that there's been an ongoing conversation and some confusion about our processes and purposes for those funds. But it is funds that we have programmed and counted to use in our ongoing work. And I know that sometimes that's met with some skepticism, but I assure you that those funds, both the $50 million for operations program delivery, is money that would be well spent. Just on the $50 million for our operations program delivery, it is about what is managed by the agency personnel itself. Such work as that we've now uncovered through our search for greater efficiencies, we found the benefits of some of that preventive maintenance, whether it's washing salt out of a bridge, working on culverts, maintaining you know, some of the seal covering within roads. We're getting a much greater detail understanding how, if we invest some of our own personnel and funds on kind of operations, that does have great return, and we, and my fear is leaving that money unappropriated, it would be going to great use. Likewise, the roughly $140 million that we have recommended be dedicated to the state road construction budget is funds that, although not at this point specifically identified with project, it is part of our ongoing investment plan and would be spent on preventive maintenance projects, both within the metro and in greater Minnesota. So these are actual funds that would be part of our program, has been planned in our program, and would be put to good use, both to primarily to preserve the assets of our roadways and to kind of extend their life. So we think that not having that having those funds unavailable actually reduces our program when it's already, we believe, short for what the state needs. Those are my brief comments. I know there's many other provisions, but I just wanted to highlight on those because I know that there's been discussion about it in the past, and I'm always available to talk more about how and when those are best used. I know maybe some of the confusion in the past has been our desire for flexibility as to how to deploy those funds under its best use.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Great. Questions, members?
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Earhart.
I don't think you were very forthcoming. Who was involved in the determination of what you came forth and said, you know, it's been agreed upon and this has been so forth. If the governor's office was not involved in this, then it's got to be locked in doubt, I guess. I don't know. Is that where this theme came from or what?
Representative Earhart, I'm not entirely clear on the budget target that was agreed upon, who all was involved in that. I do know that the budget sheet, the little piece of paper that we got last night that told us what our target was signed by
Senator Bach and Speaker Dowd. The elements of this package, you know, how to spend that $30 million plus in kind of the reallocated $30 from Metro Transit, as well as kind of appropriation authorization for the special revenue funds, trunk highway, driver and vehicle services, was determined in conversation between myself and Representative Kelly with our staff, and then later, you know, we did bring in, at least my office brought in the agency staff to look at some of the particulars. We made a couple of adjustments after the fact, some technical stuff, for example, made sure that council could use these operating dollars rather than just as one time, and we're here today, you know, to show the product of that work for the purpose of your reaction and agency reaction, the place to make amendments if need be, either adjustments before the bill is finalized and introduced as a delete all, or, you know, amended on the floor of the House.
Chair, if I may. Representative Earhart and Commissioner Zelli, I guess I'm a little confused because it in my opinion, we've asked administration to weigh in continuously throughout this session, and we've gotten conflicting reports as how that unreserved fund should be used or can it be used, and we've gone back and forth several times. In fact, testimony by yourself, Commissioner, suggested that at times we should use it, at times we can't, and to also suggest that is part of the programming, that you actually depend on that unreserved balance when it hasn't even been appropriated yet by the legislature, when you actually know that you have to come back to us to have that. So to suggest that that's part of your program, that seems a little confusing to me. We have continually asked the administration to come and be part of the transportation plan, and instead it seems like we were worried about where the revenue was coming from as opposed to putting together a transportation plan. And as Senator Dibble has said, I think the good news here is that we get the next year to work together to talk about now putting the transportation bill together that looks forward to a 10-year plan that is fully funded, and we absolutely look forward to doing that. But Representative Earhart, to your question specifically, Senator Dibble and myself have been tasked with putting this together with the input that we've had over the session, and this is where we are at today.
Well, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Chairman, both Mr. Chairmans, I think that the answer that you could have given me a better answer when I first asked, and then I would have understood it. Because there was somebody up on high and beyond our pay grade and all this stuff.
Thank you, Representative Earhart.
Well, Chair Kelly, to respond, I look forward to working with you and all elected officials on a larger plan to the extent that may be available. I want to clarify that we are totally available, and I think have laid out where we think spending can be and how it might best prudently be deployed. When we have these funds incorporated in our planning, since they are constitutionally dedicated for only this purpose, we have actually considered it over the next 4 years when we identify specific projects, over the next 10 years as part of our kind of overall planning, and then, of course, the 20-year plan. We also do that with federal funds that we expect coming, even though they're not appropriated by Congress. We have a reauthorization coming that hasn't been, legislated in the next few weeks. But we do have a resource-constrained best estimate of what those funds are. And then, so the funds that go to the fund balance, since every legislature that we've ever heard, at least as I understand, has always appropriated that for its designated use, which is the trunk highway purposes. I think where the confusion is how should they be deployed? And we did, and I did, testify that having it appropriated only to state road construction difficult because we also have needs that we do within the agency, both in terms of our overhead, but also, more importantly, some of the work we deploy ourselves. And sometimes we don't know what that is, 2 years from, and so often the middle of a cycle, the second year, we can also then know, gee, did we have a flood, or did we have an extra snow year? And sometimes that's a helpful purpose. So rather have it automatically appropriated to state road construction, it's sometimes helpful to have that mid-biennium check. So I think that's kind of where the confusion was. But in terms of the beginning of a biennium, we have always asked for, and we have been, I think, consistently counting on that funds as part of our program.
Further members? Thank you, Commissioner. Chair Dunnick.
Thank you, Chair Dibble and Chair Kelly and members. Just a couple brief comments to build off of what Commissioner Zelli touched on. First, just to echo his sentiments that having not been involved in the negotiations, at least today, between the chairs, we're still getting a feel for the impacts of this and trying to work our way through the notes and the spreadsheets and the numbers. But or for that matter, weren't involved with the leadership discussions either in the last couple of days. But I think if I have anything to say, it would just be I would be remiss to not point out my disappointment that, well, we were hopeful to be enhancing and expanding our transit service, then instead we're just kind of continuing on a status quo. But in terms of where both bodies were, I understand the House meeting the Senate in a place that I think makes some sense and certainly does a couple things that I'm appreciative. One is namely that I'd like to point out is it relieves the county's Transit Improvement Board, our regional funder, partners of the obligation of having to do more on the operating side, and certainly I think that's an improvement this conference report. But the challenge for us at the council and at Metro Transit specifically has been the cost drivers of our regular route service, the growing demand, and the increased cost of Metro Mobility, and those things aren't changing this year, next year, and in the next 30 years for that matter. And so we look forward to continuing to talk with members here, the committee, and in the legislature in large about why a sustainable dedicated funding source was so needed. And so that's just kind of my general reaction to this today. I think Senator Bach said it well in the last day or so, compromise means nobody's happy, and you can certainly put us in that category too. But appreciate all the work that the committee has done and the chairs have done over the last couple of days, and I was able to at least have a quick conversation with Chair Kelly outside the hall and Chair Dibble before the meeting, so appreciate that.
Thank you. Questions, members? All right. Thank you very much. All right. Anything further, members? No? All right. Chair Kelly.
Mr. Chair, just to, so everyone understands where we're going with this, our staff and revisor's offices are working diligently to put together the amendment that we will apply to the House or Senate File 1647. We'll do that on the House floor. We're still planning on taking that up this evening. So that is the plan as we move forward.
Great. Thank you. So, Mr. Chair, this may be the last time. Maybe not. Never know. Not dead or dead. That this conference committee meets this calendar year. So I just want to say thank you. I appreciate your partnership. Didn't get where we wanted to go, but I think we developed a really good working relationship. I want to thank all the members of the conference committee for their attention, and you know we work hard. We will continue to work hard. I continue to be optimistic. I mean, I'm generally a happy guy all in all. Not super happy we're doing lights on. I think we have pretty good product as far as lights on bills go. But hopefully we can get to the major work that is the purpose of this conference committee. I want to thank especially all of our staff, Ms. Boyd and Ms. Berezovsky and Kyle Olson and Suzanne Sabatka, who worked extremely, extremely hard. I've been meaning all year to bring in flowers and to have a little celebration to note that Bonnie Berezovsky has been with us for 20 years, and there was a big ceremony in the Senate chamber, and I had to miss that because I was somewhere in the building doing something important, I guess. But Ms. Berezovsky celebrated her 20 years with the Senate this year. And no flowers, but many, many, many thanks for.
She hates being the center of attention.
That's the most fun.
Chair Kelly. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and certainly would like to recognize our staff, Mr. Perro, Ms. Cicchini, Mr. Lee, Mr. Burris, and Mr. Marble. Fantastic. We could not do the things that we do without you, and we appreciate it. And Senator DeBillard, as you said it, I know not many people like to hear it, but there is next year, and we will actually start the process where we've left it off, and we have the opportunity to build on a very good transportation policy, and that is our goal, to stabilize that. The state of Minnesota asked us to prioritize that, and I think we have. This is just a little bit longer process than we anticipated this year, so we look forward to coming back and working together and getting this done. So thank you very much.
Very good. And our partisan staff over here kind of wave, and our pages, you know, they do a lot of work too, so thanks, and have a great summer to you. And all the advocates and all the agency people give us a tremendous amount of help. So if there's anything that anyone thinks absolutely needs to be addressed before this thing hits the floor, get to one of us very, very quickly. All right, with that, we are adjourned. Thank you.